Elin Jewell and her band are with us today. The new album, her first nationwide release, is called Letters from Sinners and Strangers. And although she now lives and works out of Massachusetts, there is much of the West, it seems to me, in what she does. She was born in Idaho, lived in California, New Mexico, and elsewhere. She and her band set up in our studio, and my first question was about a Western train trip and concert tour that the band recently took with Fred Eaglesmith and his band.
It was great. We saw some really beautiful country, and Fred Eaglesmith treated us really great, and his band is really wonderful too. And the trains were really cool because they were these narrow gauge, kind of old school steam engine with like the coal and everything. So it was an adventure. I'd never actually been on a train like that before.
Where did you go? What was the?
We were in southern Colorado and northern New Mexico. And which is my old stomping grounds. I went to school in Santa Fe, so we got to see that again. I hadn't been back in years, so it was good to go back there. And I just love it out there. Such special country, you know.
Now, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Idaho, Boise.
Which is pretty spectacular, too.
Yeah, Idaho is wonderful, too. And I just love the West. I am pretty homesick for it, so it was fun to go out there and get a good dose of it.
Now, how did you come to love this style of music? Because this style of music, I'm saying in quotes, because it is, it kind of encompasses a lot of different stuff. But it's not what your normal 20-something would gravitate to normally.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just been loving this stuff since I was a kid. When I was really young, I'd listen to, you know, a lot of classic rock and roll, like Elvis and, you know, the whole Buddy Holly thing and... you know, and just all that good stuff. And so I think that's, I think it's just been in my makeup since I can remember. And at 14 or 15, I discovered Bob Dylan and Billie Holiday and Howlin' Wolf and everything. So it's just, I don't even think of it as like something that I decided to do or anything. This just happens to be the music I've always loved.
One of the things, struck me when I heard Letters from Sinners and Strangers the first time is that you could bounce from a cover to an original, and I wasn't always sure what was what.
Oh, cool.
Which I mean as a total compliment.
Yeah, thank you.
But you want to start with one of yours to begin with?
Yeah, let's do Where They Never Say Your Name. This one's from the new record. A little song I wrote.
Yeah.
Elin Jewell is playing live for us today on the Cafe, and that's where they never say your name, one from the new album called Letters from Sinners and Strangers. And give names to the people playing this music. This sounds great.
Well, we got Jason Beek on drums, and he's going to do some backup vocals, too, in a bit. And Jerry Miller on electric guitar, and Johnny Shasha on the upright bass. And I'm doing the acoustic guitar thing here.
Now, how did... was it tough to get... and keep this band together? Did it take a while to get everything going with this?
Well, let's see. I moved to Boston about 4 years ago and moved there with the intention of finding a band, putting one together, and getting serious about music. So it took me, let's see, we've been together, what has it been, almost 2 years now? We've been touring for a little over 1 year. So yeah, I guess it took me 2 years to find these guys and to find something that really kind of clicked. But then once we came together for Boundary County, that was 2 years ago when we recorded that. From there it was, I felt like it was a pretty natural process. Yeah. We're all kind of at the point in our lives where we just want a tour. We all kind of want the same thing. We're on the same page. So that's lucky. That's something that you can't really manufacture, you know?
Now, where were you before you were in Boston? And what kind of caused you to think you want to take this seriously?
Well, right before I moved to Boston, I was in the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts. I was living in a beautiful little town called Great Barrington. And I was there to be with friends. And I was kind of sort of eddying around in a whirlpool. It felt like I kind of spinning my wheels, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I had a couple different odd jobs, and which was kind of the same thing that I did elsewhere in the country. And I knew that I had kind of dabbled in busking before in LA, and I wanted to get back into playing music on some kind of level. So it became clear to me that if I wanted to get serious about doing that, I'd kind of need to immerse myself in some musical boot camp, which is what Boston was perfect for.
So we hear, yeah. So when you were busking, I heard you played on the beach at Venice, if anyone's ever been there. It's a great place to play. Mm-hmm. Were you playing other people's songs or your songs? Or
I was playing, I guess at that time, it was mostly other people's songs. I had only written maybe one or two songs, and none of those, I don't think I am still playing any of those really early ones. But that was kind of where I started to experiment with songwriting, and I realized that I really enjoyed the process and I wanted to kind of do that more. But then, you know, there were a few distractions along the way, and so it was always kind of something that I came in and out of, you know.
I think interviews are always trying to look for a straight line. This caused that, and lives,
right.
Lives don't work like that, I know.
No, I'm afraid not. Mine doesn't, anyway.
But I'm also really interested in the experience, because we have had a lot of people here who've played on the street and bust and done that when they end up, you know, at some point in their career. And usually it seems like it was kind of good for, in some way, learning how to stop an audience or stop somebody or have them listen, or mm-hmm. Was it valuable to you at all in that way?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because I don't think I ever would have gotten onto a stage if I hadn't had some kind of a transition into that. I'm a little shy by nature. So the idea of actually just jumping up there on a stage and starting to play was like, no way, forget about it. So it was a good way to kind of just get comfortable and get your performance feet underneath you. But I don't think it's something that I am really interested in doing anymore. It was great at that time, but it, you know, it has its own set of trials, that's for sure.
You mean it's better on the stage? Okay.
Not necessarily.
Elin Jewell is our guest, and what do you want to do next?
Let's do Heartache Boulevard from the new record.
One, two, three.
Elin Jewell is playing live for us today on the Cafe, and that is Heartache Boulevard. And as long as we're featuring spirits, could you do that that high shelf booze as well?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And that's not all they have in common, I suppose. But what's your favorite drink, Elin?
Well, these guys are laughing. I think that's probably gin. Yeah. Sapphire.
With something.
Well,
no.
Sometimes with ice and lime. Sometimes with tonic. They've proposed naming a drink after me, involving gin and lime juice. That's good stuff. Mom, I'm sorry if you're listening.
And what would the drink be? The Jewel or the...
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. The Elin Jewel. Yeah. Yeah. Why not, huh?
Okay, bartenders.
Get on it.
Yep.
So high shelf booze?
Yep.
All right. Tell him I
High Shelf Blues, Elin Jules playing live for us. And Elin, thank you for bringing the band in today.
Oh, thanks so much for having us here. This was fun.